I Hate the News is the weekly news bulletin from I Hate Politics podcast, a show about a human activity we love to hate. I'm Sunil Dasgupta. The week of July 9th, 2024. A survey initiated by the new MCPS superintendent reports unfiltered responses, and we have analyzed them. Hartford County, Maryland withdraws an AP African American Studies course. The race to fill the at-large seat of former Prince George's County Council member Mel Franklin, charged with fraud and embezzlement, gets crowded. An Aspen Hill home is destroyed in a fire ignited by illegal Independence Day fireworks. Why was there a short water boil advisory in DC and Arlington? A glut of pianos on your local listservs and buy nothing groups. And more. Stay with us.
I Hate Politics is brought to you by UMBC's Political Science Program. If your goal is to make a meaningful impact with a career in local, state, or federal government, discover what this degree can do for you. Learn more at shadygrove.umbc.edu.
I Hate Politics is a podcast about our neighborhoods, workplaces, schools and streets, and our local governments as they function in diverse and democratic societies. This means our politics are messy, dirty, sometimes corrupt, with often self-serving politicians. But no matter how much we may hate politics, we are never exempt from it, even when we refuse to participate. In fact, the purpose of politics is to keep society functioning precisely when we don't agree with each other, like now. Music for this episode comes from Silver Spring power pop band Airport 77's. Andy Sullivan on vocals and guitar, Chuck Dolan on bass, and John Kelly on drums. The songs come from their album, We Realize You Have a Choice.
Kids at the Ramada Inn, waiting for the lights to dim, looking for something gonna suck them in, or at least we'll pass the time. How are those kids supposed to know that this might be their last picture show? They got 90 minutes till the credits roll to remember every line. Do you love?
Even before the new Montgomery County Public Schools superintendent Thomas Taylor officially started July 1st, he initiated a short survey with open-ended questions such as, what should MCPS stop doing? What should MCPS start doing? What are the great things MCPS should continue doing? MCPS sends out a lot of surveys, nothing new. But this time, Superintendent Taylor directed that the responses to the survey be shared out. So MCPS has removed personal information and inappropriate comments, but otherwise, we get to see a unique, unedited, and unaggregated look into the thoughts of the community. They are going to add more responses, but based on the July 3rd sample, here are some conclusions. The top 10 issues rank ordered by the AI platform Claude are curriculum and instruction, student behavior and discipline, staffing and human resources. Those are the top three. Then followed by school climate and culture, special education and support services, equity and inclusion, administrative policies and practices, technology use, academic programming, and advanced coursework, and professional development. In totality, this is pretty much the hit list of MCPS issues, not just today or post-pandemic, but going back a number of years. Based on tone and subject matter choice, we can further hypothesize that roughly 70% of the respondents are likely to be school teachers and staff. About 15% appear to be written by parents and families, and the rest are ambiguous. Of the responses from parents and families, cell phone use and special education feature most prominently. Based on this data, we can suggest that the survey as of July 3rd is not representative of the MCPS community, but definitely captures the mood of teachers and staff. One of the most curious demands in the survey is for evidence-based curriculum. The implication here being that MCPS has not, in the past, used curriculum based on evidence. On the face of it, this cannot be true. MCPS does not lack academic expertise, separate from, I'd say, managerial or administrative expertise. In fact, many MCPS teachers and content specialists are national leaders in their fields. Rather, it seems that the system is vast and there are competing needs which can only be met through targeted action. But there's also a constant and loud demand for the system to function with uniformity, so much so that you often get a mismatch between problem and solution. Second, the argument omits the reality that education research can be inconclusive. For example, it is unclear whether English as a second language students should be more quickly or slowly integrated into fully English classrooms. Once a system is created that supports ESL students in separate classrooms, teachers and administrators who are trained in that area will want to keep the system as it is. MCPS and other school districts are then asked to take sides in these debates when it is unclear which way to go. No government agency likes to do this unless the leadership personally identifies with the change and expends political capital for the experiment. But people that make decisions, including the Board of Education and senior MCPS leadership, are often too far removed from the research or the practice of teaching to weigh in effectively with their own views and political capital. And hence, an old curriculum that seemingly works, even for a section of students, gains longevity. The argument for evidence-based curriculum is made most passionately on behalf of the approach to learning reading, called the science of reading. But the survey shows that the demand is broader than just the elementary grades to which science of reading generally applies. All of this suggests that the superintendent will have a difficult time using the survey to set new policy. He is faced with some persistent rather than transient challenges that will take time and resources to address. But the tone of the questions in the superintendent's survey suggests he thinks of them as urgent. We will see how the urgency of his tone and the difficulty of his task square off. Harford County Board of Education voted 5-4 against offering an AP African American Studies class that many students registered to take in the new school year 24-25. Board members called the class divisive, with a progressive agenda, and too much focus on racism. In Prince George's County, a special primary election to fill the seat of County Council member Mel Franklin, who has been charged with fraud and embezzlement of campaign funds. 13 candidates have filed, most prominently Prince George's County Council President Jolene Ivey, who is term limited from her own district seat and is now going to run for Franklin's at-large seat. She is married to Congressmember Glenn Ivey, and their son Julian Ivey serves in the Maryland House of Delegates. Also running is Bowie Mayor Tim Adams, who ran in 2022 for comptroller and lost. On I Hate Politics, we did a candidate interview with Tim Adams at that time. Businessman Gabriel Engine Imbott, who ran and lost to Congressman Glenn Ivey previously, and former Maryland delegate Angela Angel have also declared. The special primary is slated for August 6th. Whoever wins the Democratic primary August 6th is likely to prevail in the November general elections. Montgomery County does not allow unpermitted fireworks, and the County Fire and Rescue Service makes plenty of announcements. But this July 4th, illegal fireworks landed on the roof of a house on Brad Drive in Aspen Hill, destroying the whole structure and burning the outer wall of the home next door. According to Montgomery County Fire and Rescue Service spokesman Pete Beringer, 65 firefighters responded to the fire, and the damage is about $500,000. No one was injured, but the longtime homeowner can no longer live there. We do not know where the fireworks came from, but it is thought to be from within the neighborhood. Baltimore has reported 92 homicides halfway into the year. According to newly re-elected Mayor Brandon Scott, homicides are down 36% and non-fatal shootings are down 30% compared to this time last year, 2023. And 2023 saw reductions from the prior year, 2022. It's also been a year since the Brooklyn Day mass shooting that killed 2 and injured 28 in the city. 2 police officers have been fired and 10 more disciplined for neglect of duty. On July 3rd, the massive algae blooms in the Washington Aqueduct Reservoirs, which provides the city's water, led DC Water and Arlington County to announce boil advisories. But after testing and adjustments, which included mechanical and chemical treatments, washing and expanding filters, and adding copper sulfate and sodium permanganate, the Army Corps of Engineers unit that runs the aqueduct recommended lifting the boil advisory on July 4th. According to the Army Corps of Engineers, the water coming into DC and Arlington never did fall below the EPA's clean drinking water standards. Have you ever wondered why there are so many pianos being offered for free on neighborhood listservs and buy nothing groups? Just the other day, I saw an upright piano thrown into the right-of-way, presumably for garbage pickup. I asked Montgomery Blair High School music teacher Isabel Hernandez Cata what's going on.
Sort of feels like we're at the point where people will pay to unload their old pianos. You have to keep the temperature and humidity in your home to a certain level. You know, most people at least need to tune yearly. It can be hard to find good tuners. You have to schedule an hour of absolute silence, at least, in your home. And that's just tuning. That's not the other maintenance that needs to be done. The alternatives, you know, you've got really good and less expensive electric instruments. Classical piano players will say they're no alternative. But let's face it, when kids learn the piano, they learn on electric instruments. You know, my lab at Blair is all, it's not even weighted keys. That's impractical. I have 30 unweighted keyboards that are sufficient to get kids mastering the musical concepts and developing the initial independence of fingers.
Now, along with the availability of these free pianos, I believe there are lots of scams as well.
As a music teacher, we get a lot of them. You'll get an email from somebody saying that a tragedy has befallen them. They'll usually include a beautiful picture of a piano, you know, just irresistible. And they will say, this piano is free, but we just need you to pay for moving it. They want your banking information. I will set it up with this company. And so they'll have a fake company that will take your information. And, you know, not only will they get the money for the moving, they'll clean you out. And I actually went a few emails back and forth with somebody who contacted my school.
Wow. Okay. You were thinking about some sort of piano repair program?
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously in the larval stage with all this talk of career pathways. You don't hear much about the arts and where we fit into this picture. And this could be really fascinating to kids to, you know, learn about acoustic science, but also about just general repair and physics. On the Buy Nothing recently, very close to my house, almost walkable, a lady who's a piano teacher and a professional keyboard player was giving away a harpsichord, which is, of course, you know, an older keyboard, you know, relative of the piano, but notably, instead of you know, hitting the strings with a hammer, it plucks the strings. So you have this very different sound, very, you know, good for Baroque music. I asked my advanced piano students, I said, should I do it? Should I get the harpsichord? They said, do it. And, you know, as soon as we brought it into the room, I thought, what have I done? First of all, where am I going to put this thing? But I have to say, it was just a few weeks ago. It was one of the last days of school. And it was amazing to see, you know, some of my beginning piano students all the way to my, you know, internationally competitive players asking their teachers if they could miss a little bit of class to come visit the harpsichord. They replaced three of the strings and tuned it, which I was told would be impossible. We teach kids to repair HVAC and auto. Why not provide this service to your community?
Isabel Hernandez-Cata, thank you and good luck.
Thank you so much.
Maryland Governor Wes Moore and Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser met with President Joe Biden and other Democratic governors to discuss concerns over Biden's health. Wes Moore says he's standing behind Biden. Unclear about Mayor Bowser. Hey, it's the NATO summit in Washington, D.C., July 9th to 11th. The new Prime Minister of Britain, Keir Starmer, the first Labour government in 14 years, is going to be there. And perhaps as well, the new left leadership that has just won the elections in France. Go say hi. That's all for this episode. Be sure to check out our feature interview series that comes out Friday mornings. I Hate Politics is produced by me, Sunil Dasgupta, and assistant producer, Adama Gay, with support from the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. I direct UMBC's political science program at the universities at Shady Grove in Montgomery County, where, among other things, we explore and learn about politics, government, and society close to home. Music for this episode comes from Silver Spring power pop band Airport 77s. Andy Sullivan on vocals and guitar, Chuck Dolan on bass, and John Kelly on drums. The songs come from their album, We Realize You Have a Choice. If you want to share your music on the show or know someone else who might want to, please email us at producer@ihppod.org. See you next time. There's a lot of